Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 88 all the stanzas. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 88.
Thank you. We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 34, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Mike Clausen, who were blessed in this week with a well-born girl. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we read of him in thy word that did say, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. And we are not worthy that we should come under thy roof. Also in this morning hour, when thou sparest us with our children, wilt thou give us hearts to bow in truth before thee, and that we may acknowledge our sin unto thee. Wilt thou open it unto us a little, for to see it in its magnitude would be to make us to despair. But wilt thou open it some, sufficient that we may receive a humble heart, and that we may be brought before thee in truth and in uprightness. For the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So we can read it of thy servant Jacob, who did wrestle with thee in all his need and in all of his trouble. Wilt thou give also in the midst of us such a wrestling at thy throne of grace, that we would not be able to let thee go, except that thou would bless us. For the needs and the time, they are great. But thou knowest the soul of young and old. Lord, that thou wouldst bind the matter of eternity upon the hearts of young and old, and that we could not go on in our life, and that thou wouldst stop us on our mad career, and that thou wouldst speak unto us even as thou hast stopped and spoken unto a Saul of old. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Lord, that thou may give unto us and unto our children, while it is still a day of grace, that life, that pants and that hungers and that thirsts after thee, the true and the living God, and that this day, thy holy day, that thou hast set apart even from creation, in thy goodness, in thy long-suffering, in the way of sin after our fall, that thou dost give it for the redemption of thy church, and thou givest it also for the feeding of thy people. Lord, we are insufficient for these things to bring food unto thy people. Wilt thou multiply the loaves as thou alone art able? And wilt thou feed those whom thou hast made alive, and that thou may give them to eat and to drink, and that they may be satisfied, and that there may also be an awakening from that sloth that is so often in the life of thy children. Lord, that thou may knock upon the door of the hearts of those that do say, I sleep, that their heart may wake. Wilt thou give new life both to young and old? For thou knowest the sin of each and every one of us. But we can read that thou, when thou wast here upon the world, Thou didst have compassion on the multitude. O Lord, that Thou may have also compassion upon us and upon our children, because we are as those that have no hope as we travel through this world in the same state in which we have been born. And there is no turning except that Thou wouldst turn us. And there is no running except that Thou wouldst draw us. Lord, come then. It is Thy day. It is Thy holy day, and we are gathered round Thy word of truth, that Thou may give in our hearts, each and every one, a little cry in this moment when all things in this world are for an hour set aside, that Thou wouldst take away the thoughts thereof, and that it may not remain just a form and a custom to us and our children and our grandchildren, but that the Spirit of the Lord and the presence of the Lord may be present also to heal us and to awaken us. It is alone, O Lord, in Thy power. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And if then we go from this place the same as we come, each and every Sabbath, and then we shall die as we have been born, only to magnify Thy justice and Thy righteousness in the punishment of sin forever and forever. Lord, that Thou wouldst magnify Thy grace and Thy mercy in us and in our children, and give that it may be a day to our profit and to Thy honor and to Thy glory. Wilt Thou give life unto the dead? Thou hast given life in the midst of the congregation again. A little child, well-born, humble the parents under Thy goodness, and all those who have children, give that it may be a child born to be born again, and that as parents we might learn to live more as an example unto our children. Help our teachers, strengthen them, and give them Thy grace to stand before our children each and every day. Wilt Thou be on their right and on their left, and wilt Thou give Thy Spirit also to dwell with all its richness in that place. Remember our rulers and all those that govern us, and wilt Thou give a turning again to Thy word and to Thy testimony. And we know that according to Thy word, that there cometh a great tribulation, and that we cannot expect that it is getting better. But Lord, wilt Thou prepare us and our children for what lies before us. For we have much form and we have much custom, but that cannot uphold us in the day of those trials. We ask then for the truth of it to be born in our hearts. Remember Thy people. Uphold them. Increase their number. Increase their faith. Help us also in this hour. Strengthen us that we may bring Thy word for a moment. Be Thou in our midst, in a feeling, in a believing way. Help all thy servants this day, and wilt thou supply the strength, the wisdom, the grace, and thy spirit to go before thy word, and wilt thou glorify thyself. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 19 all the stanzas. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? Psalter number 19, all the stanzas, and the last collection today that is for the Synodical Education Committee. Thank you. beloved congregation. We find our text written in that portion that we have heard read to us, Psalm 34, and thereof the sixth verse. Psalm 34, the sixth verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. So far the words of our text. The salvation of a poor man. First, a poor man crying. Second, a poor man heard. Third, a poor man saved. The salvation of a poor man. A poor man crying. This poor man cried. Second, a poor man heard, and the Lord heard him. And third, a poor man saved, and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried. Who is that? That is David. He calls himself a poor man. Do you call yourself also a poor man? Do you call yourself children, boys and girls? Do you call yourself a poor boy, a poor girl? In the Bible, Solomon, he writes, every man, he will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find, an honest man who can find. After we fell, then we have landed in such a deep place, in such a deep pit, but we don't want to admit it. And especially we do not want to confess our poverty. But the Lord, he said to the Laodiceans, that thou sayest, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But thou knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And thus the Lord says that man, he thinks of himself more highly than he ought to think. Will not help us to call ourselves rich when we are poor, because it doesn't give us anything. Solomon, he says, there is a man that maketh himself rich, and yet he hath nothing. The greatest blessing is when the Lord will make us honest with ourselves concerning the truth about our condition, concerning the truth of our state by nature, to show us who we are, what we are, that we may say, even here as David, this poor man. We don't say just a mere lip confession, because there is altogether too much in this world of a mere lip confession. Our heart that is so deceitful that it is able to make riches out of our poverty. That is how deceitful that our heart is. Jeroboam sent his wife to Ahijah the prophet, and he said, disguise thyself. Take off your royal clothes, that you are not known to be the wife of a king, and go unto Ahijah the prophet. You remember what Ahijah the prophet said, children, to the wife of Jeroboam? She come only to the door. He was blind. He could not see her. Didn't help to disguise herself. But she said, he said unto her, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? How did he know that? The Lord told him that. Then a man can try to change his raiment. He can try to change what is on the outside. And he can say that I am not. I am a poor man. But it doesn't help. Even Pharaoh, he confessed to Moses. He says, I and my people are wicked, and the Lord is righteous. If only he meant it. We read of Saul. He said it several times to David. He said it to Samuel. He said, I have sinned. But it was not living in his heart. Man does not know his poverty until he experiences what that poverty is. And the experience of poverty is bitter. Do you know what that is? What is that poverty? We heard it a few weeks ago. That is what Solomon says about a poor man. He says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Children, you will always remember what poverty is, won't you? A poor man is a man who is not able to help himself. He is not able to help himself. True poverty, how do we know that? You can say to someone, you are a poor man. You are a poor man. He says, what? Am I a poor man? I am not a poor man. You ever say, you ever hear that from your father or your mother, children? They say, you cannot do that. You're not old enough. You say, what? I can do it. I can do it. That is what we are. We are people that can help ourselves. We are people that can do it. And as long as we are people that can help ourselves, then we are not a poor man. Then we do not know what poverty is. Thus poverty, that is not something that we can just inform each other about. Poverty is something that has to be learned. Poverty is something that has to be experienced. And that experience, that is always a bitter experience, that is learned by failed attempts, the failed attempts to help ourselves in our hope, in our expectation of creature strength and wisdom, righteousness, and slowly to begin to learn by the teaching of the Spirit of the Lord our poverty. Out of poverty comes a cry. This poor man crying. Only out of poverty comes a cry. That cry does not come out of riches. That cry does not come out of a man who can help himself. No, that is the cry of the poor. Read Psalm 107. Then they cried unto the Lord. Then, when? In their trouble. Not only in their trouble. Read it over and over again. Then they fell down. And there was none to help. None to help. That means that there a man, he has to perish because he is not able to help himself. That is poverty. What man asks for help if he still thinks that he can help himself? Do you do that, children? You say, Mom, help me. No. You say, Mom, I will do it. I can do it. And it is not until that you feel by bitter experience that you cannot do it, that then you say, Mom, help me. That is, children, the cry of a poor man, a poor boy, a poor girl. And we do not make that cry until we experience for ourselves that we cannot do it. Do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray? Teach me to pray. Do you ever ask the Lord that? And then you begin to fret and you begin to complain. And then the Lord shows to you your wretchedness and your poverty and your helplessness. And then you say, this does not go right. This goes all wrong in my life. But you asked the Lord to teach you to pray, did you not? And how did you expect that the Lord would teach you to pray? Did you expect that He would teach you to do that out of a book? The Lord teaches His people to pray in their life. What did Jonah say? He says, out of the belly of hell cried I. He didn't pray before this. No, the Lord instructs His people to pray in their poverty. This poor man cried. Who is it? You say it is David. Where is he? We can read where he was. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Where is he? He is before Abimelech. Well, that was Achish. Achish and Abimelech. Well, Abimelech, that is like the word Pharaoh or like the word Caesar. That is more a title. So when he is said to be before Abimelech, then we read the history, of course, of David, and we know that he was before Achish. Achish, the Abimelech of the Philistines, and we know the history. Because David had to flee away from Saul. And when David fled away from Saul, then he fled even unto the enemy that is something. Because his own king that has become his persecutor, he has become his enemy, so that he has fled for protection and for help unto the enemy of Israel. Who can fathom the dealings of the Lord with his own people? How that the Lord is leading his people, because David, he feels that there is more protection for him under the enemy than there is for him even in his own land. Who knows, maybe he thought that he could be there just in a hidden way, just in the background, that nobody would recognize him, and that he could just walk well among that people and live in that land just in a quiet way. But it goes wrong. It goes wrong immediately, because he comes there and the servants of Achish the king, they recognize him. They say, this is David. Does the world recognize us too? Or can we just go in and out among all the people of the world and nobody recognizes who that we are, that we fit so in with the world that they cannot say that is now the people of the Lord. That is what these servants, they said of David. And you know what they say of David? They say, is not this David the king of the land? The king of the land? You say, children, David was not the king. Who was the king? Saul was the king. Now the Philistines, they say, is not this David the king of the land? Thus those Philistines, they believed that David would be the king of Israel. They say, did not the people sing of this man, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Thus they recognize him. Those servants, they say, that is the man who has slain our hero. That is the man who has slain Goliath, who has taken off his head. Bunyan, he says, a Christian man is never long at ease. When one fright's gone, another doth him cease. And when David, he has fled out of the land of Israel into the land of the Philistines, he has jumped out of the crucible into the fire. David, he is not safe anywhere. What does he do? Yeah, David doesn't know what to do. Do you ever not know what to do? David is afraid. Do you know what we read of David? He is sore afraid. He is very, very afraid. He is afraid of whom? He is afraid of Achish, this king of Gath. What does he do? Yeah, children, I do not really like to say what he did. You know why? Because God's people, they sometimes do very, very foolish things. They do sometimes things that later on they very much regret. And why? It is all because of unbelief. It is all because they are not able to rely and to believe on the Lord as they ought to believe on Him. Oh, if they could only always believe. If they could only always trust. If they could only always be just like a little child. And to walk before God in such a way in the land of the living. But there are times when the heart of that people, they are moved, as we read, like Ahaz. Their hearts are moved as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. They are so, so afraid. And why? All because of unbelief. And when they are in such a condition, they are capable of doing things which later on they will most severely regret. There are pages that people, when they look back and they say, if I could only blot out that black page from my own history. What does David do? David, we read, he feigns himself. He pretends. He pretends to be a madman. He scrabbles on the door of the gate, we read. He lets the spittle fall down upon his beard. Thus he pretends to be a man who is out of his mind. That is an awful thing. Oh, never feign yourself to be someone else. Never pretend also trying to have some fun. Never pretend to be a man who is out of your mind, like a man who has dementia or Alzheimer's. Never do that. That is a dangerous thing. We can tell you that by experience, children, young people, we have said it to you before, right? We have had it in our own life when we were just young. Hey? Pictures they have taken, of me coming through the ceiling in the classroom, in the school in New Jersey. Then they took pictures of me, my feet through the ceiling. We came down a little further, another picture, a third picture of someone catching me, and we thought it was all funny. And the next week, boys and girls, then I was in the hospital, laying in the hospital. Why? Well, if they had had a camera, they could have taken another few pictures. But this time there was no one to catch me on the bottom. This time it was not only in the classroom, but now it was in the auditorium. From our sight, then we should have been dead today and not here speaking to you. Do not mock with death. Do not mock with serious things. But congregation, there is more. Because David feigns himself to be a madman, and the intellect we have spoken to you about that lately, the intellect that is a faculty of our soul, a faculty of our soul. What does that mean? That means that when God created us in His image, then He gave us a soul that is above all the animals. They did not receive a soul. And that mind that was, as we heard out of the Canons of Dort, that mind that was capable of knowing God. And when the Lord converts a man, then the Lord gives to him his right mind again. Did you ever think about that? There are people in the world, and they look at God's children, they say, that is a man, he is out of his mind. But if the Lord gives us true conversion and true faith, then we receive our right mind for the first time in our life. Then we begin to see everything as it truly is before the Lord. That is by faith. And now for David to pretend that he is out of his mind, that is such an awful thing, especially because that is a mind that has been restored by its beginnings in David. Do you know what we read of David several times? That he behaved himself wisely, more than all the servants of Saul. David behaved himself wisely. That was the beginning of that right mind. And now, David, in his fear and in his unbelief, that he pretends that he is worse actually than the animals. He changes his behavior. But there is something more that David does, and that is a good thing. Because what else does David do? Well, he cries. We read this poor man cried. Who did he cry unto? He cried unto the Lord in his trouble. God's people. They are sometimes so strange. Because David here, he has unbelief in his heart. He has wicked behavior in his actions. And at the same time, his heart that is crying unto God. Read Psalm 56. Then you can read the prayer that David has prayed unto the Lord in this place. You would say, how is it possible that there can be such a mixture of sin and godliness in one heart, both at the same time? Such a mixture of faith and unbelief, both at the same time. That is a people who are sometimes such a riddle unto themselves. And congregation, it is written here in the Word of God. This poor man cried. Indeed. How else can you describe him? But a poor man crying. There is a man who cannot deliver himself. He cannot deliver himself from Saul. He cannot deliver himself from Achish. And he cannot deliver himself from himself. He cannot deliver himself from his own sin. Oh, indeed, that true church of God. What are they? They are really nothing more than a poor man crying. A poor man who cries to God and says, O Lord, deliver me from all my enemies, the enemies that are without, and this enemy that is within me. This poor man cried. And now David, in our text, he is marveling. He is marveling at the wonder of the Lord, because we read not only this poor man cried, but we read this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. That is our second thought for a moment. Why is David marveling at this? Well, he marvels in a special way because of his sin. He marvels because of his unbelief. He marvels because of his behavior. And he marvels because of the goodness of the Lord. For all that which is outward and all that is inward within himself. O congregation, prayer. Prayer that is an unfathomable wonder. Do you ever think about that? What prayer is, because it is the one side of the blessed communion with the Lord. And the communion with the Lord that is actually such a great wonder. That communion with the Lord does not belong to the animals. Oh, it's true. We read sometimes that even the animals, they cry to God. We say, when we look in this world, and when we look sometimes in our own heart, that when we read of the animals, they are crying to the Lord. That those animals, they have more than I have. And yet we cannot say so, because the Lord did not give to the animals the image of God. And so there is no ability of those animals to come into the communion with the Lord. Like the Lord, He has created mankind, and the Lord will restore His people too. Adam, he was sent out of that garden. What does that mean? That means the Lord, He cut off the communion. The communion where He spoke to Adam in that garden. How had that been now? If that's all that had happened, and that the Lord, He had just sent him out of that garden, but it was not so. Because before that he goes out, in order that that man would not despair, then he has given him to hear. He has given him to hear something that he may go out of that garden in hope. And what is it? I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Congregation, what did it mean to Adam when he had to go out of that garden? There was his only hope. His only hope. Because to go out of that garden without that first promise of the Lord would be to the despair of Adam with all of his posterity. Oh, there is reason, boys and girls, never leave it out and think often about it as you do it. But the Lord, He commands us to pray in His name. And so we say, boys and girls, when we come to the end of our prayer, for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake, we say in Jesus' name. Why? There is no hearing. There is no hearing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when Adam was sent out, the Lord, He is first speaking to give to Adam that only hope that he may come again into that blessed communion. And therefore, those few words, when we pray, they need to be understood by us. That is now the marvel of David. He says, this poor man cried. Are there poor men? Are there poor women? Are there poor boys? And are there poor girls that sometimes cry? Because, you see, it is so impossible. I cannot be delivered from myself. I cannot be delivered from sin. Are there those that sometimes cry? And then you have a voice inside you that says, the Lord, He will not hear. He will not hear. The Lord, He cannot hear you.
He cannot. Even as you cry, your heart that is not right, you are full of unbelief. And even as you cry, your behavior is not right. Your whole life that testifies against you. How could David cry? Oh, what has gone through the heart of that man when he was before Achish in that wicked behavior and with a heart that was full of unbelief and yet crying unto the Lord. And then you can be sure that the devil, he has said to David, it is impossible. It is impossible. You cannot be heard. And now David, he says this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. O congregation, what has he done on that cursed tree? He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, that sacrifice of that Son of God. Outside of this, there is no hope, no hope. Did the Lord ever give you an eye, the smallest eye, to behold something of him? Because all the benefits for the church of God, they are all flowing out of that sacrifice. So that David, he is marveling. The Lord heard. The Lord heard this poor man. Let us sing. 21, 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, be thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 21. Thank you.
A poor man crying. A poor man heard. And our third thought, a poor man saved. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What do we read? Achish. He says, you see that this man, he is mad. Why do you bring this man to me? Shall such a man come unto my house? And then we read that David departed thence, and he escaped unto the cave of Adullam. Thus the Lord, he makes Achish indifferent about David, so that he does not care about David, boys and girls. That was the greatest wonder for David, because that Achish has been informed that this was the slayer of Goliath, and thus that is such a great wonder. But what does Solomon say? He says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever that he will. And you see that so remarkably here in this history. And so David, he is saved out of the hand of this Achish. It is probably then in the cave of Adullam that David, he comes and he pens this Psalm 34. Thus he is in that cave and he meditates. Do you meditate? He meditates about the wonders and the works and the dealings of the Lord in his life. Do you meditate about the wonders and the works and the dealings of the Lord in your life? David had been sore afraid. David did not think that he would come out of that place alive. You say he was promised the kingdom. He was anointed. Did he not know that? David could not die. He received a promise from the Lord. David should not have been so afraid. Indeed, he did receive that promise from the Lord. Indeed, that promise was also so very personal. That was not a promise that was given to his brethren. They knew that, they felt that. No, that was a promise that was given unto David. There are so many people, young people, listen. There are so many people, they speak today about the promises that are in the Word of God. That you must believe those promises and that you must rely on those promises. Is there truth to that? Indeed. Indeed. But, and here is something, young people, that you hear so often left out. Each and every one of those promises has an object. It has an address. It is addressed to someone. Or someone's. The brothers of David, they cannot take the promise that was given to David and say, I am now going to rely on this promise that I will be king. That will be foolishness. Why? Because that promise was not given to them. That promise that was given to someone else. Thus, those promises that are in the Word of God, they have an address. They have an object. Faith that is given by the Lord to take hold of a promise. Faith. True saving faith. How? Well, how could David take hold of the promise that was given to him? Well, David has to know in the first place that he is the one who is addressed. And when David knows that he is the one who is addressed, then he may receive that promise. You say the Lord does not say our name. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. How does the Lord make faith to take hold of a promise in the Word of God? How? Well, the Lord, He first makes us to know and to feel that we are the object, that we are the one who is being addressed. Thus, the Lord is first. That comes beforehand. It cannot be otherwise. Faith cannot take hold of something if it does not recognize, if it does not feel that it is addressed to Himself. It is impossible. The Lord does not just speak into the air. The Lord addresses someone. And thus, the Lord Jesus, He says, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. How do those poor receive that gospel? How is that promise of the gospel received by them? Well, first, the Lord instructs us in our poverty. First, a man must recognize that poverty feelingly, believingly. When this is experienced in our life, when we go over the world as a man that is not able to help himself, when that is truly becoming our name, and then the Lord is speaking, and He is preaching that gospel unto the poor congregation, then that becomes everything for that people. Everything. Because now that promise that is not only for others, as our fathers say, but also for me. Also for me. That is now the wonder. But David, even here, as having received that promise, he cannot always believe it either. Those promises, they are for the benefit of God's people, especially in the ways of distress and of trouble. But what is the experience in the life of that people? That is their own weakness in that true saving faith, that unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And now David, he marvels. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Really, David? Really? Out of all your troubles? Why then are you still in the cave of Adullam? Go home then. No. Cannot go home. And why not? There are enemies there. His life is still in danger there. Say, how can that be? That David is saying here that the Lord, he has saved this poor man out of all his troubles when that man is still lying there in that cave of Adullam. Well, congregation, that is not that difficult, because the David, he has just experienced a token of the favor and the love of God. The love of God, David, he marvels that with all that sin within and without, and that the Lord, he still hears, and the love of God, that is now so evident, the care of the Lord in that life of David. And now that cannot change. It cannot change. David, he may project this into the future. That is what faith does. It is called hope. It projects that blessing into the future. And in this moment of faith and gratitude, David may believe that there is not a single circumstance that he can ever come to in his whole life that the Lord, he shall not deliver him from. Faith in exercise is a great blessing. The church of God, they may see everything in that blessed mediator. Oh, and they may in one moment be given to see him. Then everything is taken care of. Everything. Christ, he is a fountain, congregation. A fountain. And in that moment of faith, in exercise, the true church sees reality. Reality. They are the moments in their life that they see things the way they truly are. The way they truly are. David cannot go lost in that moment. And therefore he says, and saved him out of all his troubles. There is not a single trouble in the life of David that he is not delivered from in that moment in the exercise of faith. We do not say it will not go away again, the exercise, but the faith will not. Cannot. Neither can the reality. Neither can the reality, because that reality, congregation, does not change. It is all upheld not from the side of David. It is upheld from the side of the Lord. And in the end, oh, that true church, they are going to marvel. They are going to sit and they are going to meditate And they are going to marvel and they are going to sing. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him, saved him out of all his troubles. How many times do they fear still to die? They will never come there. With everything that has taken place in their life, oh, what remains? Poverty. Poverty from their own side. And the Lord knows it. What did the Lord say to the Laodiceans? He says, thou sayest thou art rich and knowest not that thou art poor. Read more. You know what the Lord said to the church in Smyrna? He says, I know thy poverty. But he says, thou art rich. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. Oh, what is eternity going to be for that people? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. That is what eternity will be for that people. O congregation, do not try to be more than a poor man. No, it will not help you anyway. It will not help you anyway. Ask the Lord to show you your poverty. To show you your poverty. Why? Because then we become the object. Then we become in ourselves those who are addressed in all the promises that are written in the Word of God. Mary, she sang, she says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. That is now the people. That is how the Lord works. The Lord, he works by hearing the poor. And that is now the people who are forever and forever going to cast their crown before the throne of the Lord and to say, thou art worthy to receive all the honor and all the power and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word? Wilt thou show to us our wretchedness? Show to us our helplessness, our death? And wilt thou give us that poor man's cry? Because then there is expectation. O Lord, be with us in the rest of this day. Receive our thanks. And for thy help in this morning hour, help thy servant who hopes to go before us in this afternoon hour. And wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand in thy mercy, and give him to feel and that underneath are thine everlasting arms. Give him also the health and the strength and that he stands in need of in his body. And wilt thou be among us as one that serveth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 353, all the stanzas. And we should announce that Reverend Verhoef hopes to be in our midst this afternoon. 353, now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely had been swallowed up alive. 1, 2, and 3 of 353. The blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.